Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Thanks for the opportunity, Pastor Steve. Thanks for your leadership. Yeah, I mean, can we just take a minute to honor Pastor Steve? I mean, he's been, yeah, come on, put your hands together. even just leading us into that moment in worship and who really just feel like God was doing something in that space, you know. And I just want to honor you guys for being so faithful. 14 years looking after this crazy bunch, all right? So, but no, we really appreciate you. And Bunbury, I just want to say thanks for making us family. We've been down here every Sunday for the last 2 or 3 months, and you guys have just welcomed us with open arms, and I really appreciate that. And we feel like this is just as much our home as any other campus. And just before I get into it, I really want to honor our senior pastors, Ken and Chrissy, for being crazy enough to believe in me and to believe in us and Steve and the team, but also to believe in you guys. They have such a huge heart for Bunbury and the Southwest, and they really send their love, and they're really cheering you guys on and excited to see what God's going to do down here and through this church here in Bunbury. But let's pray. Father God, we just ask that you come and speak today. God, our hearts are open. We want to meet with you. We ask that you just come and speak to us. God, I pray for your spirit just to come and help us to be open and vulnerable, not before me, but before you, God, today. And so, Lord, we just ask, Holy Spirit, you come, you transform us, you move in our hearts, God, and we just invite you into this space. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not going to lie. This is a confronting message, but I believe that God's heart for us is always restoration and transformation, and he does that, thankfully, through his love and his kindness and his power. But I'm just going to go for it. I'm not going to hold back today. So are you ready? Are you ready for that? All right, cool. Let me start just by sharing. Last year, I almost single-handedly ruined Christmas for my family, my immediate family. You see, I have a daughter named Shiloh. She's now almost 3. And she'd been given a box of Roses chocolates by a friend as a Christmas gift, which she so thoroughly cherished. And actually, she didn't want to eat them all. What she was most excited about was sharing them with her cousins on Christmas Day. Bless my child, huh? That definitely didn't come from me. That's obviously from Tam. I would be, these are my chocolates. Get out of here. But she was like, yeah, I'm going to take them to Christmas. We're going to give them to our cousins. Going to give them to my cousins. I was like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, have you got the chocolates? I said, we'll grab them just before we go. And so anyways, we get in the car and we head there. And we're heading north. So it's about an hour's drive to my auntie's place. And halfway through the drive, she goes, Daddy, have you got my chocolates? And it hit me, right? I forgot to grab her chocolates. And I said, I'm sorry, Shiloh. Daddy's forgot them. And just the shift from joy and expectation to just absolute devastation on her face was so real. And I tell you what, she was just devastated. She's cried the whole way there. I've never seen a 2-year-old cry like she cried that whole drive to Christmas. And thankfully, my mom had some other chocolates, and we managed to, here, give those to your cousins, and we kind of got through it, but it was touch and go there for a minute. It was touch and go, but the reality was she had this expectation, right? And when it wasn't met, it rocked her. Like, it absolutely rocked her, and I think that right there is the power of unmet expectations. I mean, it rocks us, right? And nowadays, you and I, we may not burst out into tears for 20 minutes, or maybe we do. I mean, we all deal with things in different ways. But I think we've become masters at pushing it down, you know, at just trying to get on with it, or I'll just brush it off. It doesn't matter. I'm fine. But I think the reality is we're not as good at disposing of our disappointments as we think we are. Expectations, faith, hope, dreams, putting your trust in people, these are all good things, but they all run the risk of not being met, of falling short. And when those expectations are not met, that's when we experience disappointment. And now the degree of our disappointment, how disappointed we feel, is really found in the disparity between our reality and the level of expectation that we had. We can find ourselves disappointed with ourselves, with people we love, with others, with the church, with leadership, and even with God. Now, you might be thinking, okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think I'm disappointed. Nothing's coming to mind right now. I didn't walk in here feeling like, oh, I'm up, you know. But Maybe let me give you some examples. You know, maybe you've believed God for a breakthrough, but it didn't come. Or you poured into someone, you trusted someone, and they betrayed you. Or you had a goal and you haven't even gotten close. You gave that endeavor your all. Maybe it was a new business venture or an opportunity, and it completely failed. Maybe you saw yourself having a great marriage, yet it now seems too far gone, or it's fallen apart, or you're still single. Maybe you prayed for that son or that daughter or that family member to come to know the Lord, yet it seems like they're going the other way. It seems like their disdain for God is even greater than before. Or maybe you expected a pastor or a leader to be there for you in a specific way in your time of need, and they weren't. You see, disappointment is not evil, but the thing is, it is unavoidable. We will all be faced with disappointments at some point in our lives. And we must make a decision that when we're hit with that disappointment, to actually to address it and to deal with it. And so the title of my message today is Let's Deal With It. If you're taking notes, write that down. As I always say, those who take notes go to heaven first. I'm still trying to find a scripture to back that up, but it's coming. But you see, disappointment left undealt with, it gets us into trouble. You know, in my early days of leading the Phnom Penh campus, we've been leading it for 6 years now, and there was a potential for this exciting partnership with an organization over there, a really strong organization that was doing great work with young people. But it was an opportunity to really see God do something powerful in the young people, where we could bring our strengths on board to work with things that they were a little bit weaker in, and we could really see just so many young people know the Lord. Like, and I was dead set on this proposal. I knew it would work. Like, I'd run high school ministry for many years in Perth. We'd been there doing that, and I was like, this is good. I know this is going to work. And it was rejected. And I was okay with that. That's fine. But then not long after, that organization went on to do something pretty much exactly what I had proposed, but without us. And man, I was disappointed. I was angry. Like, I'd felt like in some of the interactions we'd had, this older CEO was just kind of overlooking me or not taking me seriously because I was a bit young. And they'd basically then gone and done what I'd seen, what I'd proposed, and then done it without us. Man, I just felt like I knew the potential of what we could achieve in doing this together, and then suddenly, no. And I didn't know at that time the importance of dealing with this disappointment with the Lord. So I just tried to move on. You know, how many of us just try to move on when we get disappointed? It's all right, we'll just keep on going. It doesn't matter. It's fine. You see, not long after, I found myself in a place where I didn't have anything good to say about that organization. I couldn't celebrate any of its wins. I even struggled in conversations with our church members who worked at that organization. Right? You know, that's when you've got something undealt with going on in your heart, yeah? I got bitter, right? And I actually, in some ways, I wanted to kind of close the door on that partnership. You know, like, oh, you know, maybe if they change everything and they sort out their leadership, well then, yeah, I think that's just not going to work probably. You know, they're probably not really going to keep succeeding and being one of the most successful organizations in Cambodia. But that's the fruit, right, of our undealt with disappointments, right? Excitement and passion is eradicated, right? Our drive is depleted. Just vision, it becomes vague, right? And we carry this weight upon our shoulders. We become weary. We withdraw. We don't try again. We don't step out again. You know, we stop trusting and we start criticizing. We get cynical. We get sinful. We shut down. We walk away. We walk into the comforts of our flesh. It's not a pretty picture, is it? You know, and these symptoms are like a slow leak into our soul. And we often don't realize. We don't see it. Others possibly see it in us, but we often don't. Or maybe we're aware, but we just don't know how to get unstuck out of it, you know, or it just seems too hard. But there is hope in Jesus, amen? And we're going to unpack that today. So we're going to look at the Gospels, and we're going to see that the disciples went on this journey of great expectation. So you can turn me in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. says, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So I'm starting this scripture with this scripture because we're setting the scene here, right? And we see that these disciples have this miraculous sort of moment with Jesus, and he says, follow them. They're called to follow Jesus, to fish for people, and they just jump right in, right? They're like, yep, okay, we'll go. No past disappointments around ministry or serving Jesus or anything to hold them back. They can just go for it. That sounds a bit like you and me, maybe not right now, but maybe at one point of our life. Just jump right in, whatever. Yeah, I'm happy. And they get to hang out with Jesus, right? For 3 years straight, imagine, right? And they start seeing the dead raised, they see the blind see, the religious leaders get showed up and are left speechless. Like, they get called then into their destiny, and they're being sent out two by two where they do miracles, and they're walking in all that God has called them to. And on top of that, they're walking with this understanding or this sense of the word and the promises that Jesus is going to come and restore a new kingdom, a new rule and reign. Now, their misunderstanding of that is they think that that means he's going to kick out the Romans and the Jews are finally going to be free again, right? But then here comes the disappointment, right? Suddenly, Jesus is getting taken away by the Roman guard. We've jumped ahead a bit, I know. He's unfairly trialed, he's beaten, and next thing you know, he's been brutally killed. What just happened? Right, the disciples were left with this sense of, wasn't this meant to be the Messiah? Like, what are we supposed to do now? We gave everything to follow this Jesus, and now he's gone. Imagine the disappointment, right? You're expecting to keep riding this high, to keep seeing these amazing miracles, see this new government established, and you know, finally we Jews would be the head again and not the tail, and just like that, it seemed like it was game over. There's times in our lives where we've declared game over. That's game over for me in believing in God for that breakthrough anymore. That's game over for me for trusting people again or trusting those people. That's game over for me for putting myself out there. That's game over for me for believing that things could ever be different. Because I don't want to get disappointed again. We shut down our expectations, our faith, our hope, our belief for greater things because we want to protect ourselves. Because disappointment hurts. And so we look then to John. We look into John 21 verse 3 and we see now the response of the disciples. Jesus is gone, right? Simon Peter says, "I'm going fishing. We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. We've now come full circle, right? We started at Luke chapter 5 where they're going fishing. That's just all that they know. That's what they do. And then Jesus calls them into this incredible life, this incredible purpose. And then suddenly it hasn't gone how they've planned. So what do we do now? You know what? Let's just go back to fishing. What do you do when you're disappointed? You go fishing, you escape it all, you avoid it, you avoid the issue, you shrink back to what you know, what doesn't require faith or expectation. And that's exactly what the disciples did. They went back to what they know. There was no one there to judge them or remind them how they'd failed. You know, they didn't wake up and have to go to work with someone that said, "Hey, you were the dude that followed that guy for 3 years. Ha, what a waste of time that was," you know. They just went back to fishing. How many of us have just shrunk back to what's manageable, what doesn't really require the risk of being let down? You know, maybe God spoke to you about getting free. It hasn't happened, so you've just gotten comfortable in that struggle. Or you used to serve and love being in and amongst the house of God and amongst everything that was going on, but now you're just coming when you can will yourself to be here in church. Or you used to pray every day for your family or for your marriage, but now you just accepted the dysfunction or the separation or the lack of intimacy. Sometimes that just feels easier. We don't have the strength to believe again. And we don't dare try in case we fall flat again. It's real, right? But it is my absolute privilege and honor. And if there's one thing that you hear today, it's this, that God loves you and I too much to leave us in that place of disappointment. Yeah, he loves you too much to leave you in that space where, yeah, I tried, I believe, and it failed, and I don't know anymore. You know, as we come back, we're going to keep following this journey of the disciples. We come back to John 21, and now we see how Jesus responds. Now, we've got to keep in mind, they've abandoned Jesus at his darkest hour, right? If you read the account in Mark 14:50, where Jesus gets arrested, we know Peter flips out, grabs a sword and cuts off an ear, as Peter does. But as Jesus is taken away, it says the disciples all deserted him. They all ran away. Like, let's get out of here. This is getting serious now. This is getting dangerous. Man, if I was Jesus, I would have some words to say. Let me tell you, you know? Like, are you serious? Like, this was in my darkest hour. You saw how upset I was in the garden and I was trying to pray. And then you bailed on me. You covered your own behind, right? But we read verses 4-5. It says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Maybe we've had some times when we haven't recognized Jesus through the haze of our disappointments. In verse 5, it says, he called out to them. Hey, how could you do this to me? Where were you at my darkest hour? You know what? You guys are not cut out for this. Just go back to fishing. That's what the New Shannon translation says. No, he says, friends. Friends, haven't you got any fish? No, they answered. Friends, haven't you any fish? That's the sound of his mercy and grace. Disciples, you're undealt with disappointment has landed you back where they were, but where is Jesus? He's meeting them right there. Meeting them right there in his disappointment. You know, thank God that Jesus isn't disappointed in their response of disappointment, right? That they've given up and gone back to what they know. You see, Jesus wasn't depending on them, right? They weren't holding him up, so they couldn't let him down. And someone here, you need to hear right now that Jesus is not disappointed in you. He's not disappointed by your response to what's happened. You have not and cannot let him down. He could only be disappointed if he didn't see it coming. But he knows you through and through. He fully is in understanding of your reality, of your humanity, and he knows right where you're at, and he meets you right there in that place, and he walks right beside you. Then John 21, verse 6, the next verse, he says, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Sounds familiar, yeah? When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Jesus is saying to them, drop your nets again, my friends. Have a go again. You wanted to give up. You wanted to call it quits. Have a go again. I'm standing here with you. I'm leading you to believe again, to take that step of faith again. Does that sound like restoration? Yeah. Then we keep going, verse 7 to 12. It says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him before he'd taken it off because he wanted to look decent. And then he jumped into the water, not looking decent anymore. The other disciples followed in the boat because it was only 100 yards away. We don't need to swim. We can just paddle there. But when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. You see, does Jesus meet them at the temple once they put themselves back together? No. He meets them right where they're at, in their disappointment. And he calls them to himself. He sits with them. He serves them. He feeds them. He speaks into their lives and he restores them. Jesus sees our disappointment. And his desire is that we would let him just come and sit with us and serve us. Serve us in our need and in our hurt. Feed us and restore us to believe again, to carry expectation and hope and faith again. You know, he desires to speak into those spaces in our hearts, just like he did for Peter. If we read on, and I don't have time, but I'll summarize it in John 21. It says he then sits down with Peter and he provides a space for Peter to declare his love for Jesus three times, redeeming Peter from the three times that he rejected Jesus. And once again, he receives the call from Jesus, "Follow me, follow me, and step out of your disappointment." Now, Peter, who was probably the most disappointed out of them all, especially in himself, was likely considering himself completely rejected by the Lord and disqualified for the call of God on his life. But right here, Peter is personally ministered to by the risen Savior. And he steps out of his disappointment and he steps into the destiny that God has for him. Your disappointment in yourself, in others, in God, it's not game over. It's not the end. But Jesus is waiting and ready to meet with you, to speak to you and restore you and to call you to believe again. All we must do is accept the invitation. Worship team, you guys can come up and join me. I want to read this psalm to you. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 to 3. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit just speaks right now into your hearts. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 to 3. It said, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. I waited on the Lord. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and he steadied me as I walked along. He's given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord." This is a call to come to him, to step out of disappointment and to wait on him. And just watch as he takes a hold of your heart and he puts it back together. He restores hope and faith and a strength to rise and run again. He'll give you that new song in your spirit and you having dealt with your disappointments, you become a testimony to others. People see it. How is that? How is that person still running? How are they still full of joy? How can they still believe for that when they've seen, when that's what's happened in their world? You know, a few years ago, when I was pastoring in Cambodia, I had this moment where, you know what, the enemy had gotten in my head and I'd run with it. But I felt like I was failing, literally in every area. I felt like I was failing as a husband. I felt like I was failing in leading the church. It wasn't where I felt like it should be. And leaders had let me down and I was just disappointed in myself. And I didn't want to quit or run away. I just felt like I just needed time just to stop for like a couple of weeks so I could just, I don't know, try and fix things in myself. Like, I don't know if you've ever been there in that space, but I didn't know how to fix it. I felt like I couldn't fix anything. So I called Pastor Ken Fletcher. You know, when you're at your wit's end, you call Ken, all right? Ken Fletcher, he's our missions and one of our pastoral care guys in church, and he's part of ACC WA leadership, but he's probably one of the most like pastoral caring people you'll ever meet. And he's one of my mentors. But I called him And I remember just breaking down on the phone, and he said to me, just go and worship. Go on. He didn't want to try and give me any advice. He said, just go and worship. And I remember putting my earphones in. This was at the time was when our office was just below our house. So I went up into our house, and Tam walked in at one point. I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to get back out of there. It was messy, right? It was messy. And I just remember just beginning to just step out on my disappointment and into his presence and just engaging with God and him just ministering to my heart. And I just remember that was one of the most powerful encounters with God, one of the most intimate and real moments with God I've ever had. God picked me up and he encouraged me to keep going. That's God's heart for us. And we owe it to the others around us that need that testimony, that are stuck in their disappointment, right? Because they're going to be impacted by us walking free of our disappointment. Amen? Now, we've tracked this journey of the disciples, and the beautiful thing is that it doesn't end there. He doesn't just heal our hearts and strengthens us, but there's actually a reactivation that follows. You see, you can't run with a broken leg, right? But when he heals that leg, then he then creates in you a desire to run again. And so we look at the disciples. It says, the next thing that you read is you now jumped into Acts. So he's risen and he said, hey, wait here. My power is coming upon you. So we jump into Acts, and they're in an upper room where they have rallied all the believers together, and they're seeking God, praying for his kingdom come. Now, that doesn't sound like a disappointed group, does it? I hope we can have the same experience tomorrow night at Revival Prayer. Amen? And as they're seeking God, the Holy Spirit comes, and we know what happens from there. They then begin to step into all that God has for them. The church is born. We see miracles, right? We see them stand, and not just stand, but push through the face of persecution and genuine death threats. And they see revival. You and I, we're in the church today. We're walking with Jesus today because of what God did through those disciples who let Jesus pull them out of their disappointment. That's the fruit of the disciples who are free of disappointment. You and I are his disciples. You know, after I had that encounter and that time of worship with him, things shifted. God began to build in me a resilience and a stability in my character. And that then overflowed into my leadership. My wife and I started fighting a lot less. The church began to expand. I was then leading in two locations in the city, and we stepped into establishing our very own church building. Thank God that when I stepped into his presence and I chose to wait on him, that he healed my heart, that he refined me, that he reappointed me, and he led me into the more that he has for me. What's on the other side of your disappointment? It's really up to you. You can find yourself back where you started, or you can step out of disappointment and into the arms of Jesus and into the destiny that God has for you. If we would allow him to heal our hearts, to restore us from our disappointments, we wouldn't just see a revival in our hearts, but we'd see a revival in our marriages, in our families, in our places of influence. As we began to have expectation and faith again, well, then we start to pray. Then we start to step out. We start to dream. We start to give. We start to reach out to others. We try again to have that God conversation with our brother or with our friend or that colleague at work. So our invitation today from God is, will you deal with it? Will you bring your heart to him and allow him to restore you?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.